Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Friday, June 2nd, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians fall to the Minnesota Twins on Thursday night in the series opener at Target Field. In walk-off fashion, Royce Lewis ties the game with a big home run in the eighth inning off Trevor Stephan after the Guardians had a five-run inning and took the lead and, you know, looked like they were in line to take the opener in the series, but the bullpen let them down. After the offense had one of its rare, sort of outbursts there. What do you take away from last night's series opening loss for the Guardians?
Yeah, that's a big loss, Joe. I mean, I know it's only June 1st, but that one hurts. Two-game swing, you go from, you know, 2.5 out if you win it to 4.5 back. And you waste, a big inning by an offense that doesn't usually give you big innings. You know, five runs in the sixth inning on six singles. It was the perfect Guardians, perfectly constructed inning by the Guardians offense. No extra base hits. They send like 10 guys to the plate. The bullpen, you know, just couldn't hold it. Trevor Stephan had a tough night. Went in there in the eighth with a 6-3 lead and came out of it with a 6-6 tie. Gave up the two-run home run to Royce Lewis. And then from that point on, it was pretty much a done deal. You knew the Twins were going to win that game.
What's your level of concern right now about Trevor Stephan? Last season, he gave up 3 home runs total all year. This year, he's already given up 5. Of his 8 earned runs allowed, 5 have been via home run. This is a guy who signed a contract extension. He's going to be around for a while. They've got to get him right, and they need him in that setup role at the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, he's been struggling a little bit. His numbers, are still not bad, Joe. He had a 1.46 ERA in April, a 2.45 ERA in May. You know, the ERA jumped a run, from 1 month to the other, and he hasn't started June on the best of footing. But still, overall, he's still got decent stuff. He's gotten burned by the long ball, like Karinchak has. A couple of the relievers have really, paid for their mistakes.
Yeah, the splitter, split change is a pitch that he, sort of developed early in his career in the majors. And, it's been really effective for him over the last season or so. But when you leave that pitch up in the zone, it gets hit a long way sometimes. And that seems to be what's happening with Trevor Stephan making those mistakes right now. As far as any other concerns about the bullpen, just from the perspective of being overused and what could be ahead for them with Aaron Civale and Tristan McKenzie coming off the injured list, those guys aren't going to be fully stretched out or fully well to get you deep into games. You're going to have to tax this bullpen, at least for the remainder of this series. The next off day is going to be Monday. So the bullpen could be in for some trying times ahead.
Yeah, for sure. And, you've got, uh, you've got Curry. You know, he threw an inning on Wednesday in Baltimore, so he's, you know, he's fresh. You know, so I'm sure he, if, you know, Savali runs into trouble, Curry would be the first guy in out of the pen to relieve him. And, you know, Logan Allen is going, you know, Saturday. He's giving you, you know, as a rookie, giving you 6-7 innings. He's been, you know, pitched, you know, done a pretty good job getting deep into the games. And McKenzie, yeah, definitely, you know, you would need another arm in there. And so it's going to be interesting, Joe, just to see how he manages this bullpen, how Francona manages it.
One arm that won't be available to Terry Francona, and we had speculated on yesterday's podcast about where Cal Quantrill could end up. Cal Quantrill ended up on the injured list with a sore shoulder, and that's how they are going to be able to make the move to get Aaron Civale on the active roster. Cal Quantrill's going to need an injection and some time off just to rest and be shut down for a little while. His last couple of outings haven't been very good, so this is probably an indication as to why he wasn't as effective. Maybe he was out of his mechanics because of whatever was hurting him. But now he's going to head to the injured list, and the rotation is going to look drastically different than it did on opening day.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. You know, the opening day rotation was Bieber, Gattis, Savali, Quantrill, and Plesac. Right now, as the rotation looks, you know, with Savali and McKenzie rejoining it, Savali, Logan Allen, and Tristan McKenzie. So there's been some movement in that rotation. You know, and it doesn't, you know, I think, you know, that could, it could stay this way right now for a while, because it looks like Quantrill is going to be down. You know, I would think if you get an injection, you're down for probably, you're not picking up a baseball for at least a week, I would think, you know, and it'll go from there. You know, he's got to be on stand at least 15 days. That's 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and you know, some people will say, "Oh, well, this is a you know, what kind of, we'll question the timing of this injury and all that kind of thing." You know, you've got to go by what the team tells you and what the player, you know, what the performance indicated. It's pretty, it kind of fits that he would have run into some sort of physical trouble, because it's not the Cal Quantrill that we're used to seeing. The last time he faced the Twins, he pitched 7 innings of one hit baseball, so. You can't really argue with that. Like you said, the rotation is going to look different. Also dealing with an injury situation, Josh Naylor was scratched from the lineup late last night, so he won't be around possibly tonight. I have a feeling Josh Naylor probably figure out a way to get in the game tonight for Terry Francona, just thinking about how hot he was and how much he wants to get back in the batter's box.
Yeah, I would think, you know, he jammed his right hand on that stolen base when he stole third in Baltimore, when he had the big game in Wednesday with the 6 RBIs. He capped that off by spraining his wrist. You know, he was in the original lineup last night, but they scratched him late because, you know, just because of the wrist was barking a little bit. And we'll have to see if he's in the lineup again, you know, if he returns to the lineup tonight, Joe. But offense really wasn't their problem last night. They scored 6 runs. That's usually enough to win a ball game. You know, the bullpen just kind of, you know, hit a speed bump at the wrong time.
Yeah, if you get to Pablo Lopez for 6 runs and you know, you knock him out of a game and you do what they did, you've got to win that game. It's almost inexcusable that they allowed Minnesota to come back and walk them off. You know, last year they walked Minnesota off or beat them in their last at bat against Minnesota, you know, 3, 4, 5 times. And, you know, the Twins probably are getting sick of it. But the Twins really showed their depth last night in being able to, you know, they lost 3 starters. Their 3, 4, and 5 hitters all left the game before the rally happened. So that's an indication of things that you don't want to see if you're a Guardians fan. Them being able to win a game without Max Kepler, without Byron Buxton in the lineup. And I just wonder, after watching the way that Buxton, you know, left the game, taking a 97-mile-an-hour pitch to the ribs from Tanner Bibee, I wonder if there's going to be any sort of messages sent the rest of this series, because I wouldn't put that past Rocco Baldelli either.
No, that did not look like it. It felt real good with Buxton. Buxton's had a hard time, as everyone knows.
Dude, that dude's made of glass. I'm sorry. He's a phenomenal player, but he is the most fragile individual. Holy cow.
And yeah, so they let lose Correa to a plantar fasciitis, Buxton to sore ribs, and a Kepler to a migraine. They all left that game last night, and they still came back and won. So, like you said, Joe, that was a big win for the Twins for sure.
I didn't know Mussolini had a foot problem. Is plantar fasciitis. That's what
fasciitis.
Plantar fasciist. Toynsy over here inventing injuries for the new century. Plantar fascist that got up and all those fascists got up and grabbed Correa by the ankle. Yeah. No, I have a lot of fun with it. So injuries all over the place. That Correa injury, though, is the one that really sort of sticks out. I mean, Buxton going to put an ice pack on it and get back out there at some point. But if Correa's foot's hurting him, he could be down for a couple of games in this series. And you know, you never know, maybe longer. His history of injuries is not great.
Yeah, you know, and that was the big reason why, you know, a couple teams passed on him, the Giants and the Mets last, you know, during the winter. But it was like the ankle, right? I don't think.
Right, the surgically repaired ankle, yeah.
Yeah, that was the problem. So who knows? But, you know, with Correa, the more he's out of the lineup, the better the Guardians' chances are, for sure.
That's definitely it. As far as movement in the Bally's case, the Diamond Sports Group versus MLB in court, I believe there was a decision handed down by the judge yesterday.
Yeah, after 2 days, a long hearing, Joe. I mean, at least 18 hours of testimony. You know, it started Wednesday, went all through Thursday, right up until game time Thursday night. The judge, the federal bankruptcy judge in Houston, ruled that Diamond Sports Group, the parent company of Bally Sports, has to pay the full contracts, TV contracts, to the Guardians, the Twins, Arizona, and Texas. So it was a good decision for the Guardians and those four teams. Diamond Sports Group still has the ability, if they want, to, renege on any of those deals. And then, the TV rights would come back to the team and MLB, as it did with San Diego.
So if that's the case, and it remains to be seen if that's going to happen, then Major League Baseball would pay up to, what, 80% of what was owed to the Guardians? So one way or another, the Guardians are going to get some amount of what's owed to them from the TV contract. But if it goes the MLB route, it's not going to be the full amount.
Right. Yeah, it would be. They would back MLB would back the I guess, you know, the contract is worth $55 million. That's what they're scheduled to make this year. Mm-hmm. They've already received 75% of that. They're going to receive 75% of that from Bally's. And if Bally's, you know, or Diamond Sports Group's reneges on the deal, Rob Manfred under oath in testimony in Houston said, that they would back any team that happens to. Up to 80% of the contract. So, you know, that at least that's a fallback position, and the Guardians have to feel good about that.
Yeah, and that none of this addresses the issue that a lot of the fans, you know, really want to find out what's going to happen with, in terms of, you know, the availability of streaming services. I'm sure a lot of fans would love to see Bally's, get some sort of ability to stream games through their app, and then be able to watch. A lot of the cord cutters would like to be able to watch Guardians games that way. That's just not the case right now, and Major League Baseball has a pretty firm grip on those streaming rights. So unless something changes down the road, that's not going to change for people in the way they watch games. Only if things turn over to Major League Baseball and the Guardians, if those rights turn over to them, will we see maybe a different way for folks to watch these games. So again, good decision in the favor of the Guardians and Major League Baseball. But we sort of wait to see if anything really big changes in that way. Speaking of waiting for 80 plus years, and we've been waiting and waiting. Today is Lou Gehrig Day. It's being marked by Major League Baseball, and it's the anniversary of Gehrig's passing. And it, you know, brings to the front stage and the front of everyone's mind ALS, the disease that took Gehrig's life after he gave that moving speech at Yankee Stadium. He considered himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. And in baseball today, a lot of people on social media and a lot of people on the MLB Network and at ESPN, their thoughts are turned to Sarah Langs, who's a researcher and a writer and an all-around, you know, sort of baseball, I don't want to say celebrity, but people know who she is because every night she tweets about baseball is the best, and she's the most positive person that we've ever met. And Hoynes, you and I have both met her. She was a bridesmaid at our friend Mandy Bell's wedding back last May, and she was diagnosed in 2021 at the age of 28 with ALS. And Mandy posted today a video and a very moving story about her relationship with Sarah and just the fight that she has gone through over the last 2 to 3 years and really beyond that with this disease, this terminal disease that is going to take her life at some point. Living with that knowledge and the ravages and the effects of it on her body, but still that's the worst part about it is it doesn't affect her mind, and she's still sharp and amazing with the information and the knowledge that she shares with the baseball community. And then her reactions to the wholesome and the good and the positive things that baseball brings to the world. And she likes to highlight those things. And we love to highlight, people like Sarah. Today's just it's a positive, uplifting day. She's going to be at the Mets game tonight at Citi Field, throwing out the first pitch. And they're going to celebrate Sarah and her contributions to baseball. But, you know, it's a weird way. It's a weird thing to celebrate. And we sort of have to remember that this disease has been around for a long time, and there's still no cure. And we have to sort of make sure that we're raising awareness and raising funding for research, because it's important to a lot of people, and it's important to us because, you know, we all love Sarah so much.
Yeah, well put, Joe. That's really, really nicely done. You know, we had Sarah on a podcast, I think, last year. She's so upbeat and positive, and she knows her stuff, man. That's the thing. She has so much information. It's scary.
Yeah. And it's like somebody hits a home run on the other side of the country, and within minutes, Sarah's got tweets about stats and history and all that kind of stuff. And she's a Statcast whiz. And it's just impressive to see, regardless of, you know, whatever health concern she's dealing with, just for her to be on top of things the way she is, I'm always just marveling at it when I see it come through on Twitter, on social media, on ESPN, when she's on the Sunday Night Baseball broadcasts. It's been really neat. And from our perspective, as we sit next to Mandy in the press box every game, and we see her relationship with Sarah and how close they are and how they affect each other. I mean, you were there in Yankee Stadium when Mandy's birthday, Sarah delivered cupcakes to her, or had cupcakes delivered to her in the press box. The reactions, it's just so genuine and wholesome, and it's just the best thing to watch. Sarah's catchphrase is "Baseball is the best," and she started a campaign, Fist Bumps for ALS research, to raise money for that. I think well beyond Sarah's days, you know, once she's sort of succumbed to this disease, and we're talking about her and her impact on baseball, it's going to be she'll be the most influential baseball personality since Lou Gehrig when it comes to researching and funding for a cure for ALS.
Yeah, for sure, Joe. And, you know, we just wish her the best and that she keeps, she's so positive, you know, and that's really encouraging to anyone going through an illness or a sickness. She, you know, she really kind of, wherever she goes, she brings like sunlight into the room.
Yeah, that was Mandy's wedding last year. You know, she was obviously there and getting around in a wheelchair, so she couldn't, you know, at the end of the night when people are out on the dance floor, she was sort of sitting there at the head table, and a lot of people would take turns going over and just talking to her, you know, trying to make her feel, you know, a little bit more part of what was going on. And she was just so gracious and nice. And it was the first time I'd ever sat with her and just really had a conversation. And we talked about baseball. We talked about players and, you know, that kind of stuff. We didn't talk about what was going on or any of the obvious elephant in the room. She wanted to talk about baseball and our jobs and ask us about, you know, what we had in mind or were thinking about the game at the time. And I read something that she wrote today, this morning, and posted on ESPN about just being mindful and having gratitude for other people and doing it while they're around to know that you feel that way about them. So I think that's what a huge part of today is for Sarah is, you know, letting her know how loved and how special she is in the baseball community, you know, before anything else happens or before we don't have the opportunity to tell her in no uncertain terms. So take that lesson from Sarah, from Lou Gehrig, who wrote thank you notes to his doctors after they told him he had a terminal disease. Sarah did the same sort of thing. So walk away from this with that sort of in mind if you get a chance. So again, I know I spent, you know, 5-10 minutes here just talking about it, but we think about Sarah pretty much every day when we see her on social media and on Twitter and talking about baseball. So you know, hug your loved ones today and donate to Project ALS in Sarah's honor today and, you know, as often as you can in honor of Lou Gehrig's day. All right, Hoynsie, that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Wow, big day. We fit a lot in this one. We'll be back. We'll be back on Monday to talk about the remainder of this twin series and how it impacts the Guardians and their chase in the AL Central moving forward. We will talk to you again then.
Good deal, Joe.